Mr. Hitler, if you think we're on. Welcome to episode 4 of the Dad's Army podcast for the 7th of July 2007. There are a number of items in the newsroom today, which we'll discuss in a little more detail when Tony joins us in a short while, and then we'll go straight into our detailed discussion of our featured episode, which today is the Battle for Godfrey's Cottage. I'm joined now, as always, by my good friend Tony. Hi Tony, how you doing?
Good afternoon. I'm fine, how are you?
Yes, not too bad. We've got a few items to discuss this week that's in our virtual news bag. You've got something about Bill Pertwee, I believe.
Yes, I think he's just got an MBE. We found something on the BBC website, and I'll just read it if I may. Dad's Army actor celebrates MBE. Bill Pertwee, 80, one of the stars of the classic BBC TV sitcom Dad's Army, has described being made an MBE for charitable services a great honour. The actor, who lives in West Horsley, Surrey, is best known for playing the air raid warden William Hodges and the catchphrase, "Put that light out." I didn't know that. He said the honour had left him rather surprised, but added he might celebrate by having a beer with his son. Pertwee, it should be Mr. Pertwee, who helps children's hospices, is a veteran of 3 carry-on films. "It's a great honour," he said. "My dear wife was so ill for so many years, and she passed away in 2005, he said. She would have been so thrilled to bits, so perhaps it's for both of us," he said. The actor first played the grumpy Dad's Army Warden in 1968. The show went on to earn a BAFTA for Best Comedy in 1971 and inspired a film, also starring Pertwee, in the same year. The actor published his autobiography, A Funny Way to Make a Living, last year, and has also written books on the making of Dad's Army and 100 Years of Seaside Entertainment. He's the cousin of former Doctor Who actor John Pertwee.
Yeah, quite impressive really, isn't it? I mean, it's been a long time coming, I think.
Yeah, I mean, he's 80 years old, it says.
Yeah, that's pretty good. He joins Jimmy Perry and David Croft, although they're not MBEs, are they? They're OBEs. And they're Order of the British Empire, as opposed to Member. And I'm assuming Member is seen as more prestigious.
I don't know.
Nor do I.
I don't actually agree with honours anyway.
I think it's good. Yes, it is a little bit of elitism, I guess. It's typical, though. Both times now, the last two podcasts that we've recorded, we've had a reasonably significant piece of news, or Dad's Army featuring in the news, the day after we've issued our last podcast. So, yet again, this is 2 weeks old now. But I am pleased. I think the first thing we need to say is congratulations to Bill Pertwee. He's said all the right things. He seems to be very pleased. And he certainly should be recognised, I think, because he became, from what, I don't know whether it was intended originally, quite a minor character in Dad's Army, to one of the most staples, and he was a brilliant foil for Mannering. They were always arguing, and I think that was one of the really good things that he brought to the show.
He's a great chap. He's very funny, and I will say lots of nice things about him, even though he didn't seem to notice me when I tried to say hello to him once.
when was that?
Outside the Bell Hotel in Thetford.
Oh, that was a couple of years ago for the Dad's Army Day thing, wasn't it?
So in fairness to him, he was packing the boot of his car, and he was talking to his son at the time, so really, I don't blame him one bit.
No, he probably is used to strange people hanging around behind him. You know, I include myself there, Tony. I'm not just talking about you. but yeah, he's been to the last three. Well, he's been to all of the Dad's Army Days that we've been to, and he's always been good value, isn't he? When he's been given the microphone and makes people smile.
I've seen him actually just over a year ago. He was doing something for Remembrance Day in Salisbury.
Oh, right.
And he provided probably about half of the entertainment that evening, just doing a few sketches and telling jokes. Very funny.
No, he is funny. I have to admit, he's one of the most natural comics throughout the cast, and it mirrors an awful lot of what John Pertwee used to do, because he was an extremely comic actor. And I think it's great. I'm very pleased for him anyway.
So, do we have any more news articles?
Yeah, we've got a couple of other things I think we can discuss. First of all, in the same fashion as the last news article, the day after we published episode... actually, it wasn't episode 3, it was our podcast special. There was a repeat of a documentary programme about Arthur Lowe on ITV1. at 5:30. This was Sunday the 24th of June. Now, I didn't get to see all of this, unfortunately. One, because I didn't realise it was on until my mother sent me a text to say there was a documentary about Arthur Lowe on ITV1. But I was cooking a dinner, so I just forwarded that on to you, Tony, and I understand that you caught the last 10 minutes or so.
Yeah, I did. I caught the last 10 minutes. It seemed to be a smashing tribute to Arthur Lowe. I would like to see the whole thing. I'm sure it'll be on again at some point.
I have a feeling I've seen this before. You know, it was definitely a repeat, and they showed a couple of interviews with him, and I think they showed one towards the very end, practically the day or the day before Arthur Lowe actually died, and that was on the Pebble Mill show. And he spent a lot of time talking about his affection for Dad's Army, and given that it had taken up the last 10 years of his life, you know, he was remarkably affectionate about it. So
But as you talk about affection, in the last 10 minutes of this programme, it came across how affectionate he was for his wife as well, and how they supported each other in work. How Arthur wouldn't do work unless his wife could also have a part in the work that they were doing as well. It's quite touching.
I seem to remember that his wife was in one episode of Dad's Army, was she not?
Offhand, I think she was in more than one. Right. There's an episode, it's Joan Cooper, isn't it?
Yeah.
She plays one of Godfrey's sisters in at least one episode. She also, I think, plays the Undertaker's, not Fraser, but another Undertaker's receptionist called Miss Baker in the episode No Spring for Fraser, which I believe is one of your favourite episodes.
Yeah, but every time we keep on talking about an episode that I suddenly remember, I think, oh, that's one of my favourite episodes. But I really do enjoy Spring for Fraser. I think it is really, really good. And yeah. I have to say, I didn't know that was, Mrs. Lowe. Joni Cooper, you said, was the actress's
Cooper.
Name.
Yeah. She never recovered, according to the Dad's Army A to Z, which I've just got in front of me, it says she never recovered from the shock of losing her husband, and she died in 1987. So she died 5 years after Arthur Lowe died.
Mr. Brown goes off to town on the A21, but he comes home each evening and he's ready with his gun.
Our final piece of news is about the Dad's Army Appreciation Society website. Now, on first look, it looks like the virus alert that was coming up when you went onto the main page has gone. Now, that's not to say to you out there, yes, please go back to that web page, because I'm sure you'll be extremely angry with me if it crashes your computer. But we think we've come up with a temporary solution which helps you get around.
You think you have?
I think I have, yes.
I think they have.
If you to go to the page www.dadsarmy.co.uk/frontpage.html instead of just going to the main header of that site, it appears, and I stress it appears, not to attract the warnings that are coming, or that used to come up. So perhaps that might be helpful. Please don't rely on that, and it's certainly not a cast iron solution. That seemed to be the best way to go about avoiding the virus alert.
Okay, well, I've just tried going into it, and I've gone to the www.dadsarmy.co.uk, the normal web address for them, and I've had no problem at all. According to what I can see here, they've got no problem anymore.
Well, that's really good. I wouldn't want to issue a big blanket announcement to say that it's all okay, because this has happened before and it's come back again. So please take whatever it is that we say with a pinch of salt, but we think the way to get round it, or I think the way to get round it, is to go to the frontpage.html.
It looks like they've put in a bit of work to try and change something there, so I think hopefully they've been successful.
Okay. Feel free to let us know if you've got any news about this development. Then please email us warmingtononc333@yahoo.co.uk. Unless we've got anything else in the news bag, Tony, then we'll move into our discussion on our features episode.
The
news bag is now empty. You wait. After I've published this, there'll be about three brand new news items in the news on Monday. But we'll get into our discussion on the Battle of Godfrey's Bond.
Do you think you are kidding, Mr. Hitler? If you think old England's done.
I think we better take this machine gun with us. Right. I'll take this. Grab a magazine, both of you.
I don't have any time for reading, sir.
Well, that clip was from our featured episode this week, The Battle of Godfrey's Cottage. That clip comes from somewhere in the middle of the episode, I think, and obviously the usual misunderstanding over what a magazine is. James, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I mean, that particular clip, I mean, I included just because I too find that incredibly funny, and it's the kind of thing, you know, I find myself laughing at again and again with that episode. But yeah, I think the whole episode is really good. I mean, as an overall feel for it, Tony, how do you see the episode? I mean, do you think it's a typical kind of episode or?
No, this is one of the best episodes in my view. It's obviously in still early on in the Dad's Army experience. So, and my comment for this episode is they really are introducing Godfrey in a big way. Perhaps they've introduced Godfrey a few times already in previous episodes, but Godfrey and his sisters, you're really getting the background on him in this, and his character really does come to the fore as well. A couple of scenes where the platoon suggests using Godfrey's cottage as the machine gun post to defend the town, and they're talking about trying to get hold of the key so they can get into Godfrey's cottage if they need to, and Godfrey says something like, "Well, my sisters were going to give me a key or something like that, but nothing happened," and it's just. When he says, but nothing happened, or he said something like that, it just shows how actually, I was going to say pathetic, but that's a bit unkind, but I was going to say it shows how pathetic Godfrey is actually, that he couldn't even get a key to the house he lives in.
No, I think so. I'm not quite sure whether or not it's because of he's got a pathetic character. I think it's because he's known nothing else all his life than living with his family. I mean, you get the impression that he's been with his two sisters for a very long period of time, and I just think they're so comfortable all together, living as this, three members of the same family, that they just never get round to giving him a key, you know? So yeah. Perhaps Godfrey's actually the baby brother. I don't think it's ever mentioned as to whether they're older or younger. But I do quite like their characters in this episode. I mean, his sisters have always been fairly benign, really, in other episodes. But this one, it's the first time that they feature in it, and they're given a couple. I think they're given some of the best lines that.
Definitely.
You think so too?
Definitely. They come across as really strong actors, and you half wonder why they haven't been included more in other episodes. Mm. They're very strong characters. They do get the best lines, like when. I think it's Jones tells them that the Germans are coming. And they say, "Oh, so many people coming to tea." Yeah. And then they put some more tea on. Perry and Croft have just shown them to be living in a completely different world to the real world.
Well, they're probably a bit doolally. I think Godfrey's probably the one who's most with it. When they seem to understand that there is a war happening, but people come to tea during war from your opposing country, just seemed a bit interesting. But no, I did like it.
Revolves around cups of tea, it seems. So I think that in itself is quite funny.
Godfrey is synonymous with tea all the time, isn't it? And that develops over the series. Yeah. One thing I did find, which I noticed again, and this is particularly prominent at the beginning of the episode, I think, is the whole feel of this episode is of a bunch of comrades, and it's strange because you'd have thought that kind of feeling you would get from an episode later on in a series, maybe after three or four series, whereas this is only the second series, and yet you got Wilson, Mannering, and then Jones later on talking about, you know, just having general conversations. They were talking about Mannering's indigestion at the beginning. You know, and those kind of things, I think, were actually notably absent from the later episodes. And I like the interplay. I like watching characters just talk about mundane things. And I just thought that added a little bit more. It was almost as if Wilson and Mannering liked each other quite a lot at the beginning of this episode. Do you know what I mean?
Very much. Yeah.
I think it stems. That's just one conversation, but it does actually flow throughout the episode as well. Mrs. Pike is talking to Mannering later on in the context of a bank manager customer concept, and
yes.
This is one
this
thing.
This is when they talk about the Channel Tunnel shares.
You've read my paper, a bit of paper in front of me. Isn't
I haven't. it just caught me as we were watching it.
It did me too. I have to admit, I didn't remember that at all. It was not from when I've seen it in the past, and I've seen it countless times. But
you don't believe that I have watched the episode then?
I do this time, certainly. But it's funny, isn't it? Because Mannering's just given her wrong advice. She should have kept hold of those shares that had been passed on to her descendants, and they'd have probably been rich. I would have thought. So yes, I thought the whole feel of this episode is a little bit different to later on. It's not. It's a bit warmer, if you know what I mean. And I think this series, series two, is actually one of those series where there's an awful lot of warmth amongst the characters, and I wonder whether or not that's part of the reason why they've chosen the episode that precedes this, that follows this episode, which is The Loneliness of Long Distance Walker, as one of the shows that they're going to put on, or one of the episodes they're going to put on a stage play, because these kind of conversations and the character interplay is simply not present in some of the later colour ones.
Yeah, I mean, in the first two series, Perry and Croft are definitely introducing the characters in detail. I'm just looking through series one and two, and we've got Stripe for Fraser, Sergeant Wilson's Little Secret, Loneliness and Long Distance Walker, Battle of Godfrey's Cottage, showing up at Corporal Jones. They really are focusing on the individual characters, which is, in my view, the strength of Dad's Army anyway, the fact that they have at least seven strong main characters.
Absolutely. Yep. I think the character-based episodes, and this is almost uniform throughout the entire run of Dad's Army, not just this particular series, are always the stronger ones, and it's because they've established these characters so convincingly in episodes that focus around the lives of these individual characters. And as you said, Tone, they do this one, they do that exact thing in this episode with Godfrey, and there's lots of others. I mean, you can usually tell when you see the titles of the episodes and they've actually got the name of the characters in, there's always usually a couple of minutes where you find out a little bit more about those characters that you didn't know, you know, you didn't know in the past. I mean, you look at Sergeant Wilson's Little Secret, you know, you see into his home life, and the making of Private Pike, all of a sudden is you know, you see him in the context of a relationship with a girlfriend almost. So I think you're absolutely right. What else was there about this particular episode that you noticed?
Well, I'm struggling to find it in the script at the minute. I can't find it. But another favourite bit is where they're putting the machine gun on the table, and I can't find it, as I say. But Godfrey says something along the lines of that table is genuine Regency. Would you mind putting this little doily underneath the gun?
He didn't want his furniture scratched. I just
love that.
I think you're quite right.
I think Mannering says, "Well, this is war, Godfrey," or something. I might be making that up, but
I think you're right. A couple of things. I don't know if you noticed this, Tony, but Walker is called Corporal twice in this episode.
No, I haven't.
Well,
by who?
By two different people. First of all, it's by Mannering, right at the very beginning. It's about 3 minutes in. And Walker just says, good morning, sir. And he says, oh, morning, Corporal. And it's difficult. I mean, I think this is quite a well-known blooper, actually. I mean, people say that's exactly what he says. But the way Arthur Lowe says the words Corporal, it's quiet, and I think it could be Walker. But if you watch the episode on DVD with the subtitles up, it does say "Good morning, Corporal." So that's the first point. And later on in the episode, where Walker is with Wilson, and he's just found all of these sticks of rock, and he's giving out sticks of rock.
Yes.
And he's asking for permission. And Wilson says, "Yeah, okay, Corporal, no problems." And again, that's on the subtitles where Wilson calls him Corporal, and he clearly isn't. He's a private. So it's interesting how those bits of dialogue got left in, if indeed they are definitely saying Corporal. Not something you'd notice before.
No, I completely pass me by, those both of those.
Yeah. I think it's great noticing little things like that, I have to say. I do quite enjoy that. This is also the first time that you actually get any kind of allusion that Wilson might be Pike's father.
Remind me.
Well, there's a chat right at the very beginning whereby Mannerin tells Wilson, does he have to call you Uncle?
Oh, yes.
Wilson says, well, he used to call me something else, and it turned out to be Daddy, yeah. So there's the very first reference to it, I think, that we've ever seen. And I like the way, if that really is the seeds, if you like, of an ongoing story throughout the entire episode, it's good to see how it originates. I wonder whether even at that point Jimmy Perry and David Croft had decided that, yes, Wilson is clearly Pike's father, and we're just going to keep on dropping regular references to that throughout the series. So
I was just looking back through the earlier episodes, and I can't offhand recall how much that comes up previously.
I think it's very rare. It's only a handful of times throughout the entire run, but it is good. So I have to admit, I always have a little bit of a smile when I see that. Something else that's also interesting is that Wilson gets the "Don't panic" line instead of Jones. That's just when the bells are gone, and there's just Pike and Wilson, and Wilson tells Pike not to panic. And, you know, throughout the entire episode, I'm not entirely certain Jones says don't panic. I could be wrong there as well.
I see.
But, again, that's just something I noticed when I was watching it for this discussion. But I could well be wrong, and again, please let me know if you think that any of our observations are inaccurate.
I've got another observation. We've often spoken about the genuine bravery of these of this platoon, but in this episode, something struck me was that Wilson did come across as not very brave in one part when they're towards the end of the episode when they've seen the cloth being waved out the window of Godred's cottage, and they think the occupants of the cottage have surrendered. But Wilson doesn't want to be the first to go forward. And that's definitely, I think in my mind, that definitely is a bit of cowardice there.
Perhaps a little bit of concern. I think he embraces his role as sergeant here, because there are times when you think, or you're given the impression he doesn't really care, you know, that he's sergeant. It's just because Mannerin wants him there, because he knows him, and he knows he can manipulate him, as and when he wants to. But you're right. I think, you know, he's accepted his role as sergeant, but he's not particularly good at soldiering when he's put in he's put in direct action. And I think you're right. I don't know if it's cowardice. I think it was probably, well, I may be looking too deep here, but genuine surprise that he suddenly found himself having to shoot at the enemy.
I've got a quick quiz question for you, which I don't think you'll know the answer to. What is the name of Godfrey's cottage?
I do know it, you know. I can't remember. Go
I
on.
Don't think it doesn't come out in this episode, I don't think.
Oh, right, okay. Go on.
Do you want me to say?
Yeah.
Cherry Tree Cottage,
of course. And that was in the episode, Is There Still Honey for Tea?
Yes.
Yes, well done. And I knew. I'll get one of those questions you asked me one day without having to think. So, Pike is also a silly boy here, as well as a stupid boy.
And again, is a what boy?
Is a silly boy.
A silly boy. Oh.
He's a silly boy because he tells his or Uncle Sergeant, as he'd suddenly become at that point.
Yes.
So I think Wilson had confused him by telling him to call him Sergeant instead of Uncle. And he said he was hungry. And he said, oh, you are a silly boy, you should have brought your sandwiches. So I thought, all right, so he's a stupid boy and a silly boy. You know, this Pike boy is going to get a complex. He's always being told he's an idiot. But I do think that's quite good.
It's difficult for him because it's not just two different. It's Uncle at home, it's Mr. Wilson at the bank, and it's Sergeant Wilson when they're on parade. So he's got three different names.
So he's a confused boy as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, poor lad. Anything else that struck you about this episode as interesting or unique at all?
Slight criticism at the end. I mean, I hesitate to criticise because I just read in the scripts about the designer of the set, and it was great reading about that. But I noticed that the summer house that Wilson's part of the platoon are hiding in at the end of the episode when they're trying to attack the cottage, there's a bit of shooting. And they somehow starts turning with the shooting, and it's I think they're trying to make up bullets.
Oh,
hitting
yes,
the summer
it's
house.
A, yeah, it's a revolving. It's a revolving summer house. I think Godfrey mentions it at one point.
I found that a little bit unconvincing, but I certainly don't want to criticise the design of the set, because I think it's great.
Yeah, but it works reasonably well, and it's a very dark set, isn't it? I mean, the only thing you can really see are the actors, and, you know, this lump of wood, so maybe it wasn't a particularly convincing summer house, who knows the reasons for that. But I thought the episode started strongly, I have to say, and I enjoyed all of the things that I mentioned about the camaraderie and the warmth that you feel from it. But towards the end, I think it did get a little bit silly. It's not a criticism, because I think there are far, far sillier episodes, but it became manic. I mean, and the only comparison I could think of in other series was Fawlty Towers, which is a bit of an odd comparison. But if you start watching the first 5 minutes of Fawlty Towers, it's calm,
yes.
It's sensible, and by the end,
yes,
you as the viewer are in tears because it's so funny, and the characters have lost it completely. And I think this was actually similar. This episode started off good and calm, and towards the end, it just got very, very manic, and the tension was escalated. But that's how I felt about this particular episode. What kind of rating would you give this then, Tony? In, you know, in true form, we've been
out of five.
Yeah.
Out of five, 4.5.
Oh, so quite a big call there, really.
I like this one.
Yeah, I think I'll probably go with a 4, because I do enjoy it. I have to say, it's one of the very few episodes that, I mean, I thoroughly love on TV as well, but I enjoy the radio version of this much more than the TV offering. So.
Do you think you are kidding, Mr. Hitler, if you think old England...
Well, that just about wraps up this episode of our podcast, Tony. Just before we do sign off completely, just like to read you a little piece of feedback we received.
Hey, it's our first bit.
Yeah, it's our first bit, and yet it wasn't an email. It appeared on the Whispers on Warmington forum.
Oh, right.
So, the feedback reads... loved it, referring to the podcast, I believe. Don't worry about the gaffes. That adds to it.
I think he must be referring to your gaffes.
What gaffes do you mean, honestly? This is the most professional podcast I've ever heard. Well done on getting a scoop. I think that was the interview that we had with Ed from Calibre Productions last podcast. Booked a ticket on the strength of it. I've listened to your first podcast and I'm trying to catch up. Enjoyed the bit about having a portable DVD player in the Six Bells pub car park that I think you and I discussed in our very first podcast ever, Tony.
That's it, yep.
I think also perhaps in podcasts to come we may have a Six Bells special, and that's because the pub featured in a couple of episodes in series 8 and series 9, and perhaps we'll go back, visit the location, and perhaps speak to the individuals who run the Six Bells now, see if we can actually get a bit of an interview. But please do send in your feedback either to warmingtononsea 333@yahoo.co.uk or at permissiontowrite@yahoo.co.uk. Right, our next podcast will be recorded in a couple of weeks' time. And which episode, Tony, are we going to be focusing on the next podcast?
It's going to be Boots, Boots, Boots.
Okay, that's the Series 4 episode, where, yes, there's a series of route marches and so on. So if you've got any feelings or opinions that you'd like us to discuss in that episode, then again, please get in contact with us. That's just about everything, so just want to say thanks again to you, Tony, for joining us as always.
It's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.
Do you think you are kidding, Mr. Hitler, if you think old England's
done? So, do we have any more news articles?
Yeah.
No, sorry. Articles just didn't come out right. Stop!